Chapter 11. They didn't talk about it that night at Five Napkin Burger. Foggy offered to. He even put counseling on the table, but Matt wouldn't hear of it. He threw himself into his study, and after a week or so, Foggy stopped bringing it up because Matt would stonewall him every time he tried. He didn't forget the name Stick. He couldn't. Matt wouldn't let him. Or rather, Matt's subconscious wouldn't let him. He'd had nightmares before. Foggy knew that, but he'd need a whole other word to describe Matt after dark now. Nightmares was too mild a term. Matt stopped going out. He didn't leave the dorm at all, not for mass, not for lectures or lunch or even laundry. He was becoming a shut-in, and knowing the little that he did of what Stick had done to him, Foggy couldn't help but allow it. It was temporary, he told himself. Things were shared more between them now. Not Matt's secrets and trauma, but lecture notes, meals, and chores started to overlap, with Matt making food for two instead of one, and Foggy doing laundry, with hypoallergenic detergent and an excessive amount of fabric softener the way Matt liked. It worked for them. It was the new normal. Matt seemed to need it to be that way for now. He needed to go to ground and spend some time licking his wounds, and Foggy let him have that time, with the result that was December before Matt left the dorm again. It was only the prospect of impending exams that seemed to be able to convince him to step foot outside the dorm with his spare cane and a pair of cheap sunglasses that had seen better days, his other ones having been lost around the time Stick abducted him. The week before exams, Matt started making regular trips to the library, which was something that Foggy thoroughly approved of. It wasn't just the extra study materials available to him that were important. It was fresh air, exercise, and being around people again. People like Marcy and her roommate, Jen, who started to join them for study sessions in their tiny dorm room. Company was good, and the competition was even better. They drove each other to be at their best for exams, and the sense of camaraderie was good for Matt. Foggy was convinced of that. Matt seemed to perk up a little more when there was a spirited debate going on, or when Marcy was quizzing him on criminal codes and the interpretation of statutes. It was good for him, and was good for Foggy too. He worried about him less when the girls were around. They had a few game nights to blow off some steam, even venturing out to a bar to shoot some pool one night, which Foggy thought was a good idea until Jen tried to teach Matt the fundamentals, blushing as she did so. Foggy wasn't jealous. Jen was a very nice girl. She was cute, smart, and a little bit awkward, but Matt wasn't in a place where he could be hurt right now, even by someone as mild-mannered as Jen. He couldn't let it happen, so he quickly announced that practice was over and that they were playing for real now. Teams were assigned, boys versus girls, and he and Matt lost spectacularly, due in no way to the fact that a game that was heavily reliant on being able to see the colored balls was a total disadvantage to Matt. Foggy helped where he could, adjusting Matt's grip and directing his aim, but it was a lost cause, and more importantly, a lost bet. The price being that Marcy and Jen got to pick the movie the next time they got together to hang out. Foggy knew from the smirk Marcy wore that it was going to be a rom-com purely for the purpose of torturing him and Matt. But seeing Matt smile and laugh, taking the loss in his stride, he found that he didn't care. The point hadn't been to win. The point had been to get Matt out of the dorm, relaxing in good company. Mission accomplished. He'd known it was too good to be true. He'd known the other shoe was going to drop eventually, that Matt wasn't as cool, calm, and collected as he appeared. The other shoe dropped with a vengeance and a vicious nightmare that actively terrified Foggy. He wound up begging Matt to tell him what he needed because he didn't know and wouldn't assume, grabbing his hand or his arm to stop him from thrashing around in a tangle of sheets and sweat. Seemed like a bad idea. If he was terrified, Matt was, well, even more terrified. Foggy couldn't get two words out of him, try as he might. Well, he could. Those two words were, "I'm sorry," repeated over and over, like it was Matt's fault that some asshole had kidnapped him and beaten the crap out of him to prove some kind of twisted point. Foggy ended up hugging him, holding him really, holding him in the kind of way that made his heart ache, because if there was one thing he was starting to realize, it was that there was very little he wouldn't do to protect him, if only for the fact that Matt didn't seem to have anyone who cared all that much about him, with the exception of Marcy and Jen, who were friendly but not devoted, devoted in the kind of way where they would drop everything and cuddle up with Matt all night if that was what he needed to feel safe, in a totally platonic, strictly friends and roommates sense, of course. Except, Matt didn't feel like his roommate when he practically crawled into Foggy's bed, seeking comfort and warmth. He found himself half wishing that Matt would do that for a reason besides being cold and terrified, which was a startling thought. He blamed it on the fact that it was 2 a.m., knowing perfectly well that Matt was vulnerable right now, and that if he did anything that even remotely looked like pressing his advantage, he'd regret it for the rest of his life. So he didn't do anything. He didn't tell Matt that he was starting to develop some very, not strictly roommate-level feelings for him that made him feel conflicted at the best of times. Instead, he just hugged him and pulled the covers up around him and tried to think platonic thoughts. It worked. The comfort, not the platonic thoughts. Foggy had never felt less platonic towards his roommate. Matt calmed, and his breathing evened out as Foggy hummed softly and stroked his hair, the way Theo used to do for him when he had nightmares about his mom before Anna, the woman he stubbornly refused to think of as his real mom. Anna was his real mom, not Rosalind, no matter what his birth certificate said. Matt drifted to sleep, and Foggy couldn't bring himself to wake him. He just sighed, knowing that he was completely screwed here. Matt was a million times past complicated. He was closed off and hurt, and he kept secrets. And he'd said that Foggy didn't know him. And he didn't, because Matt wouldn't let him. But he would protect him anyway. And one day, when Matt decided he trusted him enough to let him in, then he'd tell him, and he'd let Matt in too. He'd tell him exactly what was in his heart, down to every last non-platonic feeling. The next morning managed not to be awkward, mostly because the stress of a 3-hour exam superseded nightmares and platonic cuddles between friends. Foggy somehow remembered to put his focus where it needed to be, on passing his exams with flying colors, but he did spend a few nights that week waiting for a fresh nightmare to reveal itself. To his relief, no such nightmare presented itself that week, though whether that was because Matt was doing better, or whether it was because he was spending more hours cramming than sleeping, was anyone's guess. By the time he entered the second and final week of exams, Foggy found himself longing for winter break. More than one student cracked under the pressure. There were many tears and tantrums in the library, which Foggy frequented. The drama broke the monotony of constant studying nicely. He wasn't unsympathetic, but if he smiled when he saw Jerry McLeod throw a book across the table one afternoon, practically crying with frustration, well, that wasn't for anyone else to know. He didn't invite him to study with himself and Matt. Not that Jerry would have accepted such an invitation after being dumped in spectacular fashion by Marcy Stahl after a single date. Everyone was still talking about that, when they weren't talking about exams or winter break, that is. Foggy was starting to worry about that, winter break. His exams were well in hand, he only had the one left, but he couldn't in good conscience go to his parents' house for Christmas and New Year's and leave Matt to his nightmares and a solo turkey dinner in the dorm, if Matt could even afford that, which Foggy knew that he couldn't. He returned to the dorm room early on Wednesday morning, after finding that the library's heating was out, and it was not a pleasant place to be. Hungry, cold, and stressed was no way to go through life. He'd figured that much out for himself. Matt was asleep at his small study desk when he entered the dorm, his head resting on a thick stack of Braille notes, his glasses askew, and the small heater turned up full blast. It was a strangely peaceful scene to come back to, and Foggy carefully set his bag down and tiptoed across the room to check on his roommate. A smile tugged at his lips when he noticed three or four Hershey's Kisses scattered across Matt's desk. He'd been into the snack stash again, a necessity during exams. He shook his head and gently smoothed Matt's hair back, which didn't sound like a platonic thing, but it actually was the least jarring way to wake him, and Matt didn't seem to mind it. He hummed softly and stirred, a slow, sleepy smile curving his lips. "Foggy? What time is it? Are we late?" Matt asked, sitting up with a yawn. "We've still got about 3 hours. That's enough time for coffee, lunch, and a last-minute cramming session if you think you need it," Foggy said, keeping his voice to a low murmur. "No, I think I'm ready," Matt declared, removing his glasses and rubbing his eyes. He looked better, Foggy realized. The bruises from Stick's attack had faded, and Matt looked healthier too, not as pale and sickly after all those weeks spent confining himself to the dorm, without fresh air, exercise, or sunlight. There was color in his cheeks now and a genuine smile on his lips. It was nice to see that underneath all the layers of hurt, there was some healing happening. "I think you're ready, and I hope I am," Foggy muttered, thinking with dread of the final exam, what promised to be a lengthy torture session on contracts. "You are ready. You're good at this, Foggy," Matt said, his smile reassuring him. "Really? I was thinking about maybe doing law for a living," Foggy replied, grinning when Matt snorted and gave him a playful shove. He deserved that, but he needed the lighthearted moment. Things had been tense lately between worrying about Matt and stressing over exams. That would change soon. He'd go from stressing over exams to stressing over exam grades, which wasn't much better. Winter break couldn't come at a better time. "So, I wanted to ask you something," Foggy said, his tone serious. "Sure, Foggy, anything," Matt readily agreed, stifling a yawn behind his hand. "What are your plans for Christmas?" Foggy asked, and Matt froze. His tension was almost immediate. That told Foggy Matt knew what he was going to ask next, and that he was already working on a polite way to refuse him. That would have been fine, except that Foggy knew he wouldn't enjoy winter break away from Matt. He'd spend it worried about him having nightmares or being attacked by Stick again. "Oh, I hadn't thought that far ahead," Matt mumbled, frowning slightly. "It's 2 weeks away," Foggy reminded him. Yeah, I guess I'll stay here and maybe go to Mass if the mood strikes," Matt said with a little shrug. That was the very definition of a quiet Christmas, which Foggy supposed Matt deserved, a peaceful holiday. He wouldn't get that with the Nelson clan. They were loud and talkative, especially once the rum-to-eggnog ratio started to increase. But they would also make it impossible for Matt to dwell on Stick. The Nelsons embodied good cheer and holiday spirit like nobody else Foggy knew, and maybe Matt needed a little bit of that right now. "There's a Catholic church near my parents' house, St. Paul's. It's right around the corner from Costco," Foggy announced, watching Matt's expression closely. "Okay," Matt said slowly. His expression was unfortunately unreadable, but his body language wasn't. The one good thing to be said was that Matt wasn't all that tense, just hesitant, almost like he'd expected Foggy to offer for him to join his family for Christmas, but didn't want to impose. "I wanted to ask you to come," Foggy said quietly. "To church?" Matt asked, his tone teasing. to Christmas dinner at my parents, or, well, you could stay for most of winter break, really. It's not really a break if you don't get away from campus, right? Foggy added with a bright smile. Matt didn't look convinced, though. He frowned slightly and chewed at his lower lip, all picture-perfect Catholic orphan, afraid to offend. The Nelson clan would train him out of that, given enough time. Foggy didn't have a single doubt that being around his family would be good for Matt, in much the same way that hanging out with Marcy and Jen had been good for him these last couple of weeks. "You want me to stay with your parents?" Matt asked. But he didn't say no, which was an encouraging sign. "They're super chill. They wouldn't bother you at all. I mean, my brother would, but we can just ignore him and do our own thing," Foggy declared, shrugging his shoulders. "I don't want to interrupt your family Christmas. I'm fine, really," Matt said, not doing a great job of convincing Foggy of that with that slightly tremulous tone of his. They hadn't really talked about it. The nightmares, or stick, or even how difficult it must have been for Matt to find his way to Five Napkin Burger without the use of his cane. It was something Foggy thought about sometimes, the possibility of Matt wandering into traffic without his cane that night. He hadn't, but he still thought about it and worried about it. "Yeah, I know you're fine," Foggy agreed to spare Matt's pride, "but I kind of want you to come anyway. Holidays are meant to be shared, you know. They're not much fun alone, I assume." "No, they're not much fun alone. You're sure I wouldn't be in the way?" Matt asked worriedly. "Matt, my parents would love to have you around. I mean, my mom will probably smother you a little bit, but if you tell her to give you space, she's pretty good about it. Or tell me to tell her, and you and I can go out. We don't have to stay in the house all the time. I just really want you there," Foggy finished with a pleading note in his tone. He saw Matt's little smile and knew that he was going to get his way. He tried to feel guilty about that and couldn't. Matt deserved a nice Christmas after everything he'd been through lately. He deserved one anyway, but especially after what happened with Stick. The guy messed him up and Matt wasn't over it, no matter what he said to the contrary. "Well, it'd be rude to refuse, wouldn't it?" Matt said, his smile giving away his true feelings about the invitation. "Yeah, it would be majorly offensive. I don't think I could ever forgive you if you didn't let my mom force-feed you eggnog and gingerbread," Foggy declared as Matt gave a soft laugh. He shoved his hands deep in the pockets of his quilted jacket, which Foggy kind of loved because it was oversized and soft. Never mind that it used to be his jacket, which had been on permanent loan to Matt since the night at Five Napkin Burger. Whatever made him happy, whether it was quilted jackets or Christmas with the Nelson clan. "Okay, Foggy, you win. You're stuck with me for winter break, if you insist," Matt agreed, graciously conceding defeat. I do insist. "Coffee?" Foggy offered, moving to make a fresh pot, one of the few luxuries he and Matt allowed themselves. "Decent coffee." "Please. And Foggy, thanks. It means a lot that you want me there," Matt added hesitantly. "It's Christmas, Matt. Where else would I want you to be?" Foggy asked, shaking his head at him as if he'd ever planned to spend Christmas without him. The exam went well enough, Foggy hoped. Matt was more confident than him, but that was Matt. He knew all the course material by heart. He was looking forward to Christmas. He was, and his mom had been fine with Matt coming, and even asked what a good gift for him would be. Foggy was worried, though. He was worried about his mom smothering Matt. He was even more worried about Theo teasing Matt. He was particularly worried that the story about him almost calling security on his roommate would somehow come out. Matt didn't know about it, and his mom didn't know the truth about it. That was a recipe for disaster. But things went smoothly enough when Theo picked the two of them up from campus the Sunday after exams finished and drove them to the Nelson residence. Foggy introduced Matt, but everyone seemed a bit subdued, on the Nelson side of things anyways. They were polite, almost reserved, and then he realized that was because they were tiptoeing around Matt, afraid to overwhelm him by being themselves. Thankfully, that didn't last long. His dad was probably the best about it, cutting through the somewhat awkward chatter by announcing that he needed to get back to watching the game and inviting Matt to join him as long as he promised to cheer for the right team, the Seattle Seahawks. Matt dutifully said that he would, not being much of a football fan himself. There was one almost incident that afternoon that was born out of overcautiousness on his mom's part. She was very careful around Matt, more careful than everybody else, and Foggy knew that the only reason Matt wasn't pushing back yet was because it was the first day and he didn't want to upset her, and she obviously felt the same way. It was an interesting dance to observe. "Here's your coffee, love, and what will Matt have?" Mom asked, like Matt was deaf instead of blind or otherwise incapable of choosing a drink for himself. "Ask him yourself, I ain't a mind reader," Dad said gruffly, mostly because he was watching the game and therefore was not as amiable as usual, especially because he was losing a bet with Uncle Timmy the way things were going. The way he said it was just so blunt that Foggy hastily choked back a laugh and stepped into the next room to disguise it as an unfortunate coughing fit. He wiped tears of laughter from his eyes and elbowed Theo in the ribs for grinning at him. His brother had cottoned on to his not-so-platonic feelings for Matt alarmingly quickly, and it had been a struggle to make sure Theo kept his mouth shut on the car ride over. "I'd like some eggnog, if it's not too much trouble. I hear it's great with gingerbread. Thanks, Mrs. Nelson," Matt said, polite and well-mannered as always. "No trouble at all, dear, and call me Anna," came the sweet reply that had Foggy shaking his head. Matt had his mom wrapped around his little finger already. "Okay, Anna," Matt readily agreed. After that, Foggy found that his mom seemed to hover a little less, which was a bit of a relief. Matt endeared himself to everyone over the next week and a half anyway, by being all charming and polite, typical Murdoch style, and Foggy went to bed on Christmas Eve brimful of hope and sharing a thick comforter with Matt, who said he was cold on the camp bed. But Foggy got the feeling Matt was just afraid that a nightmare was going to spoil it all, and he didn't want to take any chances. That was fine by him. He'd keep him safe and warm for as long as Matt let him. Platonically, of course. End chapter 11.